It's so important that everyone recognizes that we all are called to ministry in some way, and that means, as Billy mentioned, mentioning Christ to our families. We're called to that. You know, you could look at the scary verses in Ezekiel where it says, when God tells you, warn people, and you don't, he will require their blood on your hands. So the best thing to do is tell them. See if this microphone's going to be working okay this morning. First and foremost, just to say thank you to Mark this morning. He's been doing that. And see the mistakes, by the way, this morning. That wasn't Mark, that was me. Trying to make sure it was being done right, I actually caused the mistake. But I really appreciate that Mark has done this morning and is helping with these words. Okay, I'm going to pray for God's word. Let's just look to the Lord to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I said, look into you to help us. We can't understand your word without the Holy Spirit who brings light and understanding of it to us. And so we ask that the Spirit of the living God would enable us this morning to hear what you're saying to us and speak to us through the living and active word. Lord, this isn't just a book that was written, Lord God, as as some sort of fiction, Lord God. This is fact. This is the word of God. And this word will abide forever. And we just pray that your word this morning would do its work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I spoke from Job 15 verses 14 and 16 using Job's friend Eliphaz's words. And what do you hear? I mean, it's frightening to think that these words are in the Bible. If God doesn't trust his own saints, never mind others, because we are abominable and filthy and drink in iniquity, that's moral corruption, like water, what does that actually say about us? You know, when we look in the mirror, what is it telling us? When God's word says, if God doesn't trust his own saints, because we're abominable and filthy and drink in iniquity like water, do you get the point of what we're like of ourselves? This is the condition and the position of every person outside of Jesus Christ. And it matters not how good you might think you are, or maybe you're the sort of person that, well, I'm not that bad, or I'm certainly not as bad as him. We're all utterly corrupt. However, as Psalm 8 showed us last week, even in our depraved and fallen state, God loves us and recognizes the problem that we face with this indwelling sin and the sinfulness of it. God knows that we're powerless to do anything. Now that means that we should also be going to God and telling God, even though he knows, we should be going to God humbly and saying, I'm powerless to do anything about this sin in my life. God knows that we're powerless to do anything about sin, and without his intervention, mankind would be subject to his righteous judgment and hell. Remember, God can never compromise his holiness to accept depraved and sinful humans into his presence. No matter how much he loves us, outside of Christ, we cannot be accepted by God. Understand that. And Billy's right. If you don't tell people this truth, they're going into an eternity without Christ, they're going to hell. And the reality is, God is not going to say to anybody, no matter how good they might think they are, no matter what great things they may have done, God is not going to compromise his holiness and say, oh, well, all right then, come on in. It's never going to happen. God cannot compromise his holiness just to accept depraved and sinful humans into his presence. It can't happen. As the Apostle Paul puts it, he says there is a law. There is a law of sin and death at work in us, which rebels against God and cannot be defeated by our own self-effort or good works. We can't weigh it on the balance. We can't weigh the law of sin and death and this and think, well, this is really bad, but we'll put a few good works here and try to bring a balance to it. It doesn't work. This is the sinfulness of sin. This is the depraved and fallen state of mankind. Even when we want to do good, we can't. Or any good that we do or we try to do is utterly contaminated by sin. So how then is it possible for abominable, filthy, depraved sinners to glorify God and enjoy him forever? Because that is what we were made for. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But how can we do that if we're abominable, filthy, depraved sinners who cannot go into God's presence? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus makes it possible for us to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, because Jesus paid the price for our sin by His death on the cross. Whoever humbly comes to God, and I love that, whoever. It doesn't matter how vile of a sinner you may think you are. It doesn't matter how good of a sinner you may think you are. The Bible is clear. Whoever humbly comes to God, trusting in Jesus' death on their behalf, will receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. But there's something more wonderful, I was saying last week, more wonderful that God does for those who trust in Jesus. God writes His law on our hearts and minds. He writes His law on our hearts, on the hearts and minds of His people, and with the empowering help of His Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us, we can now resist sin and temptation and show that we are no longer slaves to sin because Jesus has set us free. Now listen, I'm realistic enough to know there are plenty of days and plenty of times throughout the day where you don't feel like you're no longer a slave to sin. You feel like you are a slave to sin constantly. That's the lies of the devil. You can choose to believe the lies of the devil, or you can choose to believe what God's word says. God has written His law in our hearts and minds, and He has given us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, who empowers us to resist sin and temptation and shows us that we're no longer slaves to sin, because Jesus has set us free. And so this week, as we continue to look at the depraved and fallen state of mankind, we're reminded Satan is a thief and a liar. You've heard that every Sunday night for about the past 13 weeks. Satan is a thief and a liar. Sin, which originates from Satan, is also a thief and a liar. Sin is just like who it comes from. Sin is a deceiver. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 11, Paul says, sin first finds the opportunity, deceives, and then kills. That's what sin does. Sin is smart enough to look for the opportunity, and then it deceives, and then it kills. So let me just give you an example. You guys will pick up on this. You're walking down the town, especially in the nice sunny days, and you see this lovely looking woman walking down, and you go, whoa. I have no problem. One of my foster sons said to me, you're a pervert. Because I said the other day, I saw this lovely looking wee girl. She was about 15, but she was a beautiful wee girl. And I says, look at her, she's beautiful. He says, oh, you're a pervert. And I says, she's beautiful. I says, I can appreciate beauty. I says, just like I can look in flowers and appreciate beauty. He says, but I don't want to jump into bed with her. I says, there's a difference here. So guys, imagine you're walking down the street and sin's lurking about, looking for the opportunity, when lo and behold, this bombshell comes walking past. And he's like, wow, there's the opportunity. See, and then it deceives. Have an hour look. Have an hour wee look. What would you want to do with that? And before you know it, you're right in there in your mind. And then you've sinned. You've killed. And Jesus says that he who lusts after a woman in his heart has committed adultery. Now, let's not pretend. Women like to see it as well when they see handsome looking fellas like me walking down the street. And they go, quah, what would I like to do to that? It usually involves a hammer to the back of the head. But sin looks for the opportunity, then it deceives, and then it kills. Sin is a deceiver. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, we're warned to take heed that sin doesn't harden our hearts by its deceitfulness. When we continually give in to the deceitfulness of sin, it's not just making us sin by the things that we're giving into, it's actually hardening our hearts. I hate when you have to buy a new pair of boots, and I've done a series of talks on this some years ago. When you buy a new pair of boots and you're wearing them for the first few days, and it just cuts the back of your heel. it's really, really sore, but you think, I've got to just plod on with this and plod on with this. And I bought my foster son a pair of shoes the other day, and he was gurning about how sore it was, and I took the shoes at night, and I was banging them with a hammer under the water and a tap and all, to soften it. But it hardens and hardens. But eventually, the skin calluses. It becomes hard, and the boots don't affect it anymore, and then the boots themselves become a wee bit more supple and don't hurt. Well, that's what sin does to your heart. The more it deceives and the more you cave in, it calluses your heart. It sears your conscience. We're warned to take heed that sin doesn't harden our hearts by its deceitfulness. Sin is a deceiver. Sin makes wrong things look and feel good, and therefore convincing us that they are good, but it leads to death. Ultimately to physical death, because we're all going to die as a result of sin, but also death begins to work in us and against us. And Adam and Eve fell for exactly this trap. Turn please to Genesis chapter 3. This was the trap that Adam and Eve fell for. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, this is Satan, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Eve saw the fruit on the tree. She knew that that tree was forbidden. God had said, don't go near it. Don't eat the fruit. Don't even touch that tree or you will die. Eve saw the fruit on the tree, which she and Adam were forbidden to eat from. And she listened to the lies of Satan, just like you and I listen to the lies of Satan. We can't blame Eve for the troubles of the world. You and I would do exactly the same thing. You and I still do exactly the same thing. We listen to the lies of the deceiver. She listened to the lies of Satan, and she took of the fruit, and then she gave some to her husband. They saw, look at what's being said. They saw the tree was good for food. Okay? They saw, there's the bombshell walking down Main Street in a nice sunny day. We see that it looks good. Okay? They saw that the tree was good for food. It's called the lust of the flesh. It means sinful desires that translate into actions. Lust of the flesh doesn't necessarily mean sexual. It means sinful desires that translate into actions. You see them in your mind's eye. You can see them physically. They saw the fruit and they desired it. That's the lust of the eyes. Sinful desires that stem from looking at something and desiring unlawful things. So there's the bombshell walking down Main Street. You've seen it. Now you're desiring it, even though it is forbidden. And now you're moving into a desire that is ungodly. They saw the fruit and they desired it, lust of the eyes. Sinful desires that stem from looking at and desiring forbidden things. Loving the things of the world more than God. Doesn't matter what God's word says, you shouldn't lust after woman. She's gorgeous. Doesn't matter what God says, you shouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree. That fruit looks beautiful. They believed that it would make them wise. They believed that it would make them wise. And that is the pride of life. Sinful and selfish desires which often enable boasting of one's own achievements. See how wise I am. See, you're a woman. As you move into that, God, not bad looking girl. Oh, what would I like to do to that thing? And then before you know it, you have in a sense possessed her. And she in a sense has possessed you, as in your heart you know that you have committed adultery. And you think, oh, how wise am I, thinking that God hasn't seen. Sin works exactly the same way in all of us, because it dwells within us and it is at war against our spirits. Do you understand this morning? Sin is at war against our spirits. Sin, which makes things feel good and look good, even taste good, is warring against your spirit. And we all get duped by it, and we all get deceived by it, because it's a powerful, powerful deceiver. It aims to deceive us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And most of the sin of mankind is deceived. Most of the sin that mankind is deceived into committing falls under one of these three categories. Now I want you to think about your sin this morning, whatever that sin might be. Is it a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes, or a pride of life? Because guaranteed, it's likely one of them. I wonder, do you know how to recognize sin and the sinfulness of sin? During the 1936-1939 Spanish Civil War and the siege of Madrid, the nationalist general, Emilio Mola, he told a journalist that his four columns of troops, that as they approached Madrid, he said, I have a fifth column of supporters inside the city, and they will support us and undermine the Republican government from within. Hear that? He had his four columns of troops heading towards Madrid, and he was able to tell the journalist that was with him, I have a fifth column within the city, a column of supporters within the city who will support us and undermine the Republican government from within. And do you know that from that time, the term fifth columnist or fifth column has come to mean a group within a country at war who are sympathetic to or working for the enemy. Hear that? A group within a country at war who are sympathetic to or working for the enemy. Sin is like a powerful, powerful fifth columnist at work within every person, powerfully deceiving them to rob God of glory and to rob them of life. Because of this fifth columnist, because of indwelling sin in every person, even Jeremiah the prophet proclaimed, the heart, the most inner being, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know its ways? It is so utterly deceitful. Your own heart is utterly deceitful. It will deceive you because it will work with the fifth columnist within you, the sin within you, to seek to rob God of glory. But it's not just the heart that is deceitful. Sin permeates every part of our lives, our minds, our souls, our desires, our affections. Sin is a constant enemy within, always working to deceive us and to kill us. And by kill, I mean ruin, to mar, to undermine our fellowship with God. This fifth columnist lives within us, affecting our everyday life, and will do so for all of our life. We must not let sin deceive us. Sin is sin is sin in the eyes of a holy God. And that's how we must view it too. We can't toy with sin. We can't cherish it. We can't accept it or justify it. We must put it to death when it raises its head. If you don't put it to death straight away, you are already deceived. If you think you can toy with sin, if you'll just enjoy the wee desires that it's given you for the few moments, but don't take it any further, you're already deceived. You must put it to death. You must nip it in the bud immediately. No sin is acceptable to God. And we are children of our Father. Therefore, no sin should be acceptable to His children. Sin is a deceiver. Sin makes wrong things look and feel good, and therefore convinces us that they are good, but it leads to death. Christians who think that they can willingly sin and there will be no consequences are already deceived by sin and are fooling themselves. The lusts of the flesh, that's the sinful desires that lead into actions. The lusts of the eyes, the sinful desires that stem from looking at and desiring forbidden things, loving the things of the world more than God, and the pride of life, the sinful and selfish desires, often just to enable boasting of our own achievements. They all work against you to deceive you and to kill you. Satan is outwardly deceiving you, and his fifth column is already at work within you if you think that you can sin and there's not going to be any consequences. Satan is outwardly deceiving you, and his fifth column is already at work within you, seeking to destroy you or undermine your fellowship with God and your ability to serve Him. Those who try to justify sin by saying, oh, but this is just who I am. I can't help myself. If God doesn't do it, this is just who I am. You know, I just have to accept this. If that's you this morning, you're already deceived. You're already duped by the devil. The fifth columnist is warring against you, deceiving you into believing that you are still a slave to sin and to Satan, even though God's word says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you hear that? If you try to justify your sin, oh, it's just me. God hasn't changed this part of my life yet. It's just me. I can't help myself. If you believe all of that rubbish, you're already deceived. Because the fifth columnist is at war against you, working within you, deceiving you into believing that you're still a slave to sin and to Satan, even though Jesus says otherwise. Those who think they can dress up sin as something good, and it happens all the time. For example, we get females all the time who will say, oh, well, I'm only going out with him because, and he's not a Christian, but I'm going out with him because you just never know, God might use me to bring that person to Christ. They're deceived, they're believing the lies, and they're disobeying God. There is no other excuse for it. See if God chooses to save that person. That's nothing to do with them and their disobedience. That's just God's grace. You can't butter up sin. You can't dress it up in a way that tries to make it look good, as I said last week about putting the candle on the particular object. You can't dress these things. For example, those who think they can dress sin up as something good, nowadays we're being forced to accept sinful ways and sinful lifestyles and practices by others. And we're being forced to accept them just to make ourselves look like we're an all-embracing and all-loving church. Well, we don't do it here in Shiloh. If you're offended by the word of God, tough. That's just the way it is. Sin is sin is sin, and we're not going to dress it up for anybody. Thank God, though, this morning. Thank God Christians can look to the Lord for his help to overcome sin. He has written his law in our hearts and in our minds. And with the help of his Holy Spirit, we can, don't believe the lies of the devil, we can resist the enemy within and without. We are no longer slaves to sin. The fifth columnist is also a defeated enemy. It just doesn't know it yet. And you know why it doesn't know it yet? Because we keep feeding it. Because we keep supporting them. Because we come alongside when the fifth columnist within us is trying to get us to sin and trying to deceive us to commit sin. We'll just run along there with him and give him that wee bit of help. But we need to learn the minute that that fifth columnist within us rises, we need to put it to death. We're no longer slaves to sin. We must not give the enemy within us any credence whatsoever or give any ground to sin as we walk in our walk to victory. Because Christian, listen this morning. I don't care what you feel like this morning. God says you're on a walk to victory. And he says that he who has started this work to victory in your life is going to keep on doing it until it is finished on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop hindering your walk to victory. Stop putting obstacles in your way by supporting the fifth columnist within and the enemy without. Resist it. Oppose it. Put it to death. Then you will see even more greater fruit as you walk in the walk of victory with the Lord. We are free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Free meaning we don't have to obey its commands anymore. We will never be sinless this side of heaven. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we should, yes, sin less every day. So Christian, simple word this morning. Don't let sin deceive you. Don't let the fifth columnist at work within you deceive you. But walk in the freedom in Christ Jesus to which you have been called. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone listening in on the podcast or watching it on Facebook and you're not yet a Christian. Well, you might find what I'm about to say this morning hard to hear. You might find it hard to listen to this morning, but the fact is, it's true. From one perspective, you'll be delighted to know, from one perspective, Satan and sin are not your enemies. Now, I'm saying this to the unbeliever this morning, so if you're listening in or you're watching on Facebook, let me say it again. From one perspective, Satan and sin are not your enemies. They are your masters. They rule you. They rule over you. Outside of Jesus, you remain a slave to Satan, sin, and death. Unless you confess your sin, unless you agree with God that you are a sinner, and unless you repent of that sin, turn around and turn away from that sin, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus alone to save you, you will die in your sin. And you will die a slave to Satan and to sin. And you will be cast from God's presence forever. And the Bible calls that hell. Right now, Satan and sin are deceiving you. They're lying to you. They're telling you that you don't need to be saved. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are all working to prevent you from believing. They're all deceiving you. Believe God's word. You need to be saved. And God's word said, whoever believes, whoever trusts in Jesus has everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to understand the sinfulness of sin. That we, Lord God, are living as depraved and sinful, fallen beings. In and of ourselves, Lord God, we have no power to conquer sin. But thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be that he paid our debt in full. That those who come to Christ and are hidden in Christ have your law written in our hearts and minds so that we can now resist sin and temptation. We don't always do it, Lord, but we can resist sin and temptation and we don't have to obey its commands anymore. Father, please, in the name of Jesus, help us not to toy with sin, not to cherish sin, not to play with it, Lord God, not to try to butter it up or dress it up as something good. Help us, Lord, to nip it in the bud, to put it to death as soon as it raises its head, so that the fifth columnist within and the enemy without will not gain any victories over our lives. But help us to walk by the power of your Spirit in obedience to your written law in our hearts and minds, and serve you and glorify you by our lives. And Father, I pray for anyone who's not a Christian this morning who's hearing this, that they would understand, Lord God, that Satan and sin are their masters. And unless they repent, they will die slaves to Satan and to sin, and will be cast forever from your presence in hell. And Lord, you love them so much you don't want it to be that way, but you can't compromise your holiness. The only way, Lord God, that people can be accepted into your presence and into your kingdom is through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. So may people come to Jesus this morning and find full and wonderful salvation in and through his glorious name. Amen.